This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Adam Ragusea in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it to gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house.
And today on the program, a special Thanksgiving holiday treat. We're going to spend some time in the kitchen with four star Boston chefs who will cook up four different Thanksgiving dishes.
And most of them are not typical. So these are dishes that you might want to consider for Thanksgiving if you want to break away from tradition. If not, you can appreciate them as something to cook up and serve the day after or the weekend after Thanksgiving.
So Anthony, we've got a Thanksgiving pasta course. Mm. We have an amazing take on Brussels sprouts, followed by, I think it's safe to say, a non-traditional turkey dish.
That's
and
right.
Then we'll make dessert a surprise, let's say that.
All right, good idea. So let's start with the first course. And for that, I headed over to Rialto in Cambridge and Chef Jody Adams.
So I am making a squash cannelloni with a brown butter. We have this beautiful puree. This is something that you can make before Thanksgiving. My recommendation is you take a squash, an acorn squash, a butternut squash, a curry squash, whack it in half, scoop out the seeds, put some butter or oil on the pan, turn it upside down, and just let it roast at about 350, 375 until the flesh is soft and the bottom has caramelized. Scoop it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then puree it with some sautéed onions, a little bit of garlic, maybe some sautéed fennel, whatever suits your little fancy.
It looks beautiful.
So I'm going to start by salting the water.
For the pasta that you're using, is this just store-bought?
This was made here, but you can buy pasta sheets at stores that sell pasta. So in the North End, you'd find it. I know there's a place in Somerville, Dave's Pasta, that sells pasta sheets. So I'm dropping the pasta in the boiling water. It's fresh. It only takes a little bit of time.
So, Jody, what do you like about this dish in terms of what it says about this season or this holiday?
First of all, if you go out to the farmer's market, which I could do right now in front of the Charles Hotel outside of Rialto, I would find mountains of squash. It's great to be able to work with something that's local and fresh and seasonal. It also says to me Thanksgiving, both as a vegetable, pumpkin soup, and, of course, pumpkin pie. So sometimes it's nice to move off of tradition to bring something like this, a cannelloni stuffed with a squash puree, into the seasonal table, maybe not on Thanksgiving, maybe the night before, the weekend after, when you have some leftover squash.
It's a great idea.
And it's Italian. And, you know, what's not to like about Italian? I'm putting it on a plate. I'm going to just rinse them under cold water and then lay them out.
I see.
I'm laying them out on a cutting board.
So just a nice thick line of the puree in each one.
Yep, down the center.
They're so beautiful. The color is so
vivid.
It's electric.
Just roll it tightly enough so it pasta folds over on itself. You're not going to get a full spiral.
I see.
We're making this a vegetarian option.
Because you do a recipe like this, but add clams,
and
right?
Clams and bacon, yeah.
Bacon.
Is really good.
What isn't improved with bacon?
I know.
In fact, I've decided that that's just all you need to know about cooking, is just add bacon.
Add bacon. Well, there are some, they'll go unnamed, but there are some chefs, I think, who think that. I mean, bacon is its own food group, don't you know?
Yeah.
So a little butter over the top.
All right, butter on the top.
And then we're going to pop it into the oven at about 400 degrees, and it's going to take 7 minutes. So into the oven it goes.
All right.
While the cannelloni are baking, I will make the sauce. This is a very quick sauce. I have here some beautiful minced shallots, very fine, whole butter, sage leaves, walnuts, pomegranate, and pomegranate molasses.
Oh, fantastic. Now, pomegranate molasses.
Wow. It has a beautiful sort of sweet and sour taste. It's intense. You only need a little bit.
Mmm.
Isn't that yummy?
Oh, yeah, really intense.
Kind of turns your mouth inside out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But great.
But it's a great condiment for savory cooking. So a couple of tablespoons of butter, and this is just cooked. So what we're doing is the moisture in the butter is boiling out of the fat. Then the solids will start to brown, and that's where you get that nice nutty flavor. It's quick. Off the heat, adding the walnuts, adding a little bit of pomegranate molasses, and then some sage leaves. And then, of course, you have to taste it. Mm. Yum. Mm. Add a little salt.
Butter and sage is such a nice thing, isn't it?
It's the best. And it just says holiday.
Oh, it's so good.
buttery and sagey, and then this wonderful pomegranate molasses gives it that little kick.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice.
Okay. Oh, wow. They look fabulous.
So they look crispy with a little brownness on the top and around the edges.
Yep. Mm. You don't want them to be completely crispy, so you have some different textures. Butter is sizzling, that's what you want just before you put it over. You can smell that sage.
Oh, it's so beautiful. You've got those nice sage leaves and the red pomegranate seeds and then the brown butter, and now you're putting
shavings of parmesan. And the walnuts, I think, are really nice in there as well.
Jody, it's a work of art. Yeah, I'll just take a bite of this right now.
Is it good?
It's so good. I love how the squash in the middle is so—it's so rich and yet so gentle. It's so nice. All right, one more bite. All right, one more, and then I'm going to stop.
So that was Chef Jody Adams at Rialto in Cambridge with her recipe for pumpkin cannelloni.
And Anthony, it sounds like you had a hard time tearing yourself away from that dish there, which is, I think, saying something considering that you grew up in Italy.
True enough. It was a very tasty dish, as you'll find out, Adam. And we should let folks know that we've posted all these recipes online at RadioBoston.org, including the pumpkin cannelloni. So, Adam, on now to a side dish. Tell us about it.
Right. So when we first asked our own Farm to Fork contributor, Chef Andy Husbands of Tremont 647 in the South End, to make a dish for this Thanksgiving meal that we're putting together, he actually volunteered to do the vegetable side, which surprised me because, as you'll hear, my sense of a Thanksgiving veg is somewhat prosaic. When I think of Thanksgiving vegetables in the Ragusio household growing up, it was frozen peas.
You know, it's a tradition in the Husbands household, frozen peas and pearl onions.
Yeah, that's
classic.
Right. Classic.
Absolutely. Delicious.
Is that what we're going to do today?
That is not what we're going to do today. What I like to do is, use local and fresh. So we use Sparrow Arc Farms in Maine, and they have the best Brussels sprouts ever.
Brussels sprouts. Wonderful this time of year, too, right?
Absolutely. This is the season. This is Brussels sprout season.
So I'm looking at them over here.
Uh-huh.
Have you par-cooked them?
Yeah, we quartered them. We blanched them in boiling salted water,
okay,
which kind of helps brighten them, keeps them crisp, and then we're going to saute them up.
So we have to have the obligatory Brussels sprouts are not scary conversation, right?
Yeah, as a kid, I always thought they looked like little brains, and I would rather throw them out the window than eat
them. I'm a grown man, and they look like little brains to me right now.
Yeah, but they are so, so tasty and so yummy.
But bitter, right?
No, not bitter. Not bitter. And I'm actually convinced that if you don't like Brussels sprouts, you've never had my Brussels sprouts,
okay,
or you've never had good Brussels sprouts.
Well, I see this cast iron pan over here getting insanely hot.
Yep, that's going to help us get a good sear. Before we do that, though, we're actually going to make a dressing for it.
Oh, great.
This is kind of like a Thai-style vinaigrette. Warm water and sugar. I'm kind of making just a simple syrup. I mix that up. I add shredded carrots, fresh chopped ginger, fresh minced garlic, lime juice freshly squeezed, and fish sauce. Are you familiar with fish sauce?
Sure, it's fermented fish guts.
Right. I always like to tell people it smells like feet, almost.
But a nicer way to say that is umami, right?
Umami, yes, yeah, exactly. And they call fish sauce the soy sauce of Southeast Asia.
Right.
And even if at home, if you're going like, ooh, gross, I would say you've had it. And you've had it actually in pad thai.
Right, yeah.
And what makes pad thai so delicious? So I strongly recommend this recipe. What's great about this recipe also, and you're going to see how quick this is going to happen, when I do Thanksgiving, I like to kind of pace it so I don't have to do everything all at once. This dressing holds up for about 3-4 days really, really well. So make this early. It was quick and easy. It took me 5 seconds, as you just saw.
Right.
Blanch your Brussels sprouts
day before.
Yeah. Absolutely. So now we're at Thanksgiving. We've got the turkey resting. We've got our mashed potatoes just holding in the oven. Our pie's made. And all we have to do is make the salad real quick, make the vegetables real quick. I have my cast iron pan, which is my favorite. I get it nice and hot. I'm going to add just a little bit of vegetable oil. You can see it's kind of rippling, so I know it's hot.
That is wicked hot.
This is going to happen pretty quickly. I'm going to add in my Brussels sprouts. Instead of stirring right away, I'm going to let it sear. And you can see they're kind of popping a little bit, moving around. Now I'm going to stir them a little bit, move them around the pan, and just let them sit. And look at this right here. We can already see it's kind of caramelizing, almost to the point of burning, but not quite. Can you smell it?
Yeah, it smells like nuts.
Yeah, it's nutty, almondy almost.
Well, again, I mean, I think of roasty, toasty flavors when I think of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what we want. Thanksgiving, to me, is just full of sensory memory. You know, you think about that pie, the nuts, turkey, everything's kind of rich, not so much heavy, but caramelized, right? Even the turkey, it's golden brown and caramelized in the oven. So this is just a kind of another extension of it. And we're just going to caramelize it up a little bit more.
Now, this is my problem, because I do make Brussels sprouts at home these days, and I will try to get them really brown, but I find that the outer leaves fall off too quickly, and then they basically turn black. But yours are holding together.
Right, and that's because we left a little bit of core in there. You might be chopping them a little bit too small.
Yeah.
But what I suggest is, if you do that, and you trim off the bottom, and maybe you cut it in half, and some of the leaves fall off, take those leaves that fall off and set them aside. Add them to your dish at the very end. They will not need blanching, and they'll be bright, bright green. Okay, so what we're going to do is just finish the dish. This is going to take about 30 seconds. What I have here is fresh mint leaves. Just sprinkling them on. I add this at the very end because I don't want them to turn black.
Right.
And I add our dressing. And I toss it around, and it is ready to eat. That simple. Sweet. It's sour, it's salty.
It looks phenomenal. Can we try it?
Absolutely.
Get one of these little guys. Mmm. That is phenomenal. And it tastes like a little bit like the Thai restaurant down the street.
Yeah.
But it still really tastes like Thanksgiving.
And the mint gives it kind of a nice freshness to it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, gorgeous, Andy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and have a great Thanksgiving.
And that was Chef Andy Husbands of Tremont 647 with his Brussels sprouts in a Thai dressing.
Adam, a long way from frozen peas.
That is very true.
So now it's time to talk turkey.
It is inevitable. It's Thanksgiving. We can't not talk about turkey.
That's right. But again, we're going off the traditional Thanksgiving path. This time with Chef Michael Schlau of Radius and Via Mata. I met Michael at his newest restaurant, Tico, in the Back Bay. And he's going to bring us a recipe for turkey with a south of the border accent.
What I want to do today is I want to take advantage of some delicious turkey thighs that I have left over. It seems that everybody goes for the breast meat at my house. My grandfather, when he was alive, he went for the neck. For some reason, the thigh, which has some of the greatest flavor, whether it's a chicken thigh you're dealing with or turkey thighs, they have really good fat content. They have delicious flavor.
I've always loved the thigh meat.
So have I. Yeah. And so what I wanted to do is something very non-traditional with this, a turkey taco, and using some very unusual ingredients that you don't normally associate with turkey. I think when we think turkey, we think cranberries, we think stuffing, you know, we think pearl onions and green bean casseroles and things like that.
Well, you've got something beautiful bubbling away here on the stove.
Well, what this is the turkey meat that I've taken off of the bone. It's just the thigh. And I'm just gently simmering it in a little bit of juices, which is just some turkey stock and a little bit of tomato. And what I'm going to add to it is a little bit of Morita chili sauce. And Morita chilies are a very specialized, very unique chili that you find in Mexico. They're not too spicy, but they have a little bit of heat to them. And what I've done with the Morita chili sauce is I've roasted some tomatoes, some onions, some garlic, and then you put the chilies in and puree it all together with a little bit of olive oil. It's very, very simple, and it lasts for a long time in your refrigerator also. And all I've done is shredded the meat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of chopped cilantro to it.
That gives it a sort of regional identity, doesn't it?
I think so. But cilantro is used in a lot of places. Obviously, it's used in Asian cooking. It's used in Mexican cooking. And it's funny because if you think about it, Anthony, you couldn't find cilantro in a supermarket or every supermarket 15 years ago. But now you go into any supermarket across the country, and it's very, very prevalent. So the key to any good taco is the tortilla, obviously. The fillings are of paramount importance, but without a good tortilla, I think you're in a lot of trouble. So we buy some really delicious, very authentic corn tortillas. Then to heat them up, we just put them on the plancha for a second. You can just do it in a saute pan, or you can do it on a grill also. And you can smell these.
Oh,
The flavor is just beautiful.
There they are on the hot, hot grill.
They cook really 30 seconds aside. You just want a little bit of color. Just to score them ever so slightly. Now, the trick here is going to be testing out that meat. This is the best part of my job, is when I get to test everything before it actually goes to the table. And if you want, take a little piece of this,
sure.
Try it. Put a little bit more of that Morita chili sauce. But that doesn't...
Really good.
Isn't that delicious?
It's delicious. Mm. The turkey you can taste, but that the chili sauce gives it a little bit of bite. Really nice, and I can taste the cilantro as well.
And the other thing that's great about this dish, you could buy one turkey leg and thigh. And I think you could probably feed the whole neighborhood, you know, because it doesn't take a lot of protein to make a taco. Yeah. It's maybe about 2 ounces of protein or so. For ours, I'm going to put a little bit more of that Morita chili sauce right over the top. I'm going to sprinkle pickled red jalapenos. They're not nearly as spicy. They're a little sweeter. I like a little bit of cucumber to cool it off.
Mm-hmm.
We also have some pickled onions that are going to go on. So a lot of acidity to go against the richness of this turkey.
I see.
And not a lot of anything. It's just a few strands of each thing.
This definitely seems to be a case of less is more. I mean, I like it that you're not piling this stuff on.
Right. It's not a messy taco. And actually, this way you can eat a couple more. If you put too much stuff on there, you're only going to be able to eat one or two of them. And then a few little bits of cilantro.
So pretty.
And that's really it. That's how easy this dish is. If you wanted to make it more complicated, you could, but I don't think it needs to be.
So pretty. In terms of a non-traditional take on Thanksgiving, Michael, do you like going in that direction? Or, you know, when it comes to your Thanksgiving in the Schlau household, is it roast turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce? Or will you serve something like this?
Well, at our house, we have 40 people come to Thanksgiving, so I go all out. And so one of the things that my family has asked me to do that we've made sort of a tradition is every year we introduce one new dish. And that dish gets voted on as to whether it gets to become a regular or it's got to go bye-bye and we don't get to keep it for the next year. One of the dishes that actually ended up on the menu here at Tico is Brussels sprouts with bacon, kumquats, and jalapeno. I'd say we're probably 75% traditional and 25%, you know, inventive stuff.
It's a great idea. Well, shall we sample these tacos?
Let's taste them, absolutely.
All right, okay, you first.
Okay, I'll go first. I'd be happy serving that on Thanksgiving, come to think of it.
It's really good. The bite of the peppers adds a nice
little
flair to it.
Mm. Without being too spicy, right?
Mm. Mm. Thank you very much. Really good.
Thank you.
Michael Schlau, thank you so much for doing this, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Andy. Happy Thanksgiving to you too, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks. So that was turkey tacos from Chef Michael Schlau at Tico in the Back Bay. And Adam, what do you think? Time for dessert?
It is time. And it's funny, you know, that we had all these American chefs of European descent doing these Mexican and Thai spins on Thanksgiving. So we have to now go to a chef of Taiwanese descent for a straight-up apple pie.
I love it.
But that's exactly what happened. So we go now to Flower Bakery in Fort Point, where Chef Joanne Chang and her staff are cranking out hundreds of pies, no doubt, as we speak. And I asked her if she grew up with this pie recipe, and you'll never believe what she said. She said, absolutely not.
Yeah, when we opened Flour, I realized, uh-oh, it's Thanksgiving, I have to make pie. I'd never had pumpkin pie, I'd never had apple pie other than the McDonald's little pie pocket. And I didn't know that there were apple pies that were mushy, I didn't know that there were apple pies that were dry. But I had in my head what I thought they should taste like, and that gave me a goal to test and test and test to try to get to that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see how Joanne Chang does apple pie.
Okay. We start off with some Macintosh apples. They have a lot of flavor, they're really good for baking, but I find them really mushy when they bake. So I mix the Macintosh along with Granny Smith apples. Because a lot of times when I've had apple pie, it can sometimes get so mushy that it's more like applesauce pie. But if you were to use all Granny Smith, it wouldn't be juicy enough. Because Granny Smiths don't bake up with a lot of juice. You can even hear the difference in cutting the Granny Smith versus the Macintosh. The Macs are so much softer, the knife just goes right through it.
And now you're cutting them into little quarter inch slices.
Yep, and you'll notice that there's a huge pile of apples, 7 big apples.
That's a lot of apples.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost double the amount of apple you could normally add because we macerate it with this sugar. The sugar draws out the moisture in the apple and it allows the apple to soften.
So they shrink due to moisture loss.
They shrink, exactly, allowing you to pack more apples in.
That's going to be stronger flavored.
Yes, much more apple-y. So we have some brown sugar and a little bit of cinnamon, and then a little bit of flour. So you need a little bit of flour to kind of thicken up all those juices that are going to collect once the apples sit for a little while.
And how long do they sit there?
About an hour. Now we're actually going to roll out the lattice for the lattice part of the apple pie.
All right.
Just some pie dough that we have. Let me get a little flour.
Sure.
The key to rolling out pie dough is you really want to use a lot of flour, both on top and underneath your dough. You're using the flour to prevent the dough from sticking to both the rolling pin and the work surface. And a lot of times people get a little bit nervous and they think, oh, if I put too much flour, the dough will get really floury and the dough will get tough, and I'll end up mixing a lot of flour into my dough. But if your dough is refrigerated, like this just came out of the fridge, it actually won't absorb the flour.
Because it's so hard.
Exactly. So you want to start in the center and using all of your strength, roll out. Start in the center and roll out. Give the dough a turn, start in the center and roll out. And I'm going to roll this piece of dough until it's about an eighth of an inch thick. So I'm using a fluted pie cutter. You could just use a knife if you don't have a little rolly like this. Now I already have a pie shell already baked right here. Now we're going to take our apples, fill them in our par-baked, blind-baked pie shell.
And you've got this massive mound of apples in the center of this pie. But they're going to bake down, right?
They're going to bake down, exactly. Now I'm going to take the lattice strips, and I'm actually going to egg wash them. Just break an egg, and then with a pastry brush, I brush these lattice strips. And this will make the final product nice and golden. It adds a nice sheen to your baked pie. So you don't want to skip this step, because this is a really easy way to make your pie look really, really beautiful. Okay, so now that we have our lattice strips, we drape the lattice strips over the pie.
Four in one direction.
Four in one direction, and then we turn the pie 45 degrees.
You're just laying the next layer of strips at an angle on top of the first layer of strips.
Right on top. And you'll notice that the strips themselves, I keep extra long, so they're actually overhanging the actual pie shell.
Okay.
When they bake, they're going to shrink. When the pie comes out, we'll trim them then. If you trim them now, they'll shrink into the pie, and you'll probably, the strips won't be long enough to cover the whole pie.
Okay.
This is what we call pearl sugar or sanding sugar. It's a large granulated sugar that doesn't dissolve, and it adds a really pretty sparkle.
Yeah.
So a nice generous handful of those go on top. So this goes into a 350 degree oven. Slide that right in. And that's going to bake for probably about an hour, 20 minutes. And what you're looking for is a golden brown crust. A lot of times people underbake their pies. So you definitely want that lattice to be nice and golden brown.
Now through the magic of radio.
And now we have our finished pie. You can see that the apples did shrink. If you put a towel over it, the steam from the apples will cause the lattice to soften and it'll shrink down with the pie.
Oh, nice trick.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. Can we taste it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Nice crispy crust from the lattice especially.
Mm-hmm.
Apples, tart, not too sweet.
Not too sweet. That's a big hallmark for us is that our pastries aren't like crazy sweet. We really want you to taste the apples. Enough sugar so that it's dessert, but not so much sugar that it's hard to eat.
Well, the result is that I really taste and appreciate the rock sugar that's on top.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up giving more texture and kind of variation to the whole dish. It's not all homogenous.
Right.
So from a position of ignorance, you reinvented the wheel, and you did so beautifully. It's
Thank
a delicious
you.
Pie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
You too. Thank you.
All right, Adam, so we've got apple pie from Joanne Chang, chef owner of Flower Bakery. We also have a turkey taco recipe from Michael Schlau, Thai Brussels sprouts from Andy Husbands, and pumpkin cannelloni from Jody Adams. And it's all laid out in front of us. Let's dig in.
It's kind of a kooky Thanksgiving meal, but pass the cannelloni.
All right.
All the detailed recipes and photos are at RadioBoston.org. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving, Anthony.
Same to you, Adam. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Pass the apple pie.
Oh, do have a knish, knishia. Pass him the latke, matke. Chili con carne for Barney. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Face, Buster, share, chops, fump. Everybody eats when they come to my house.